Picture a serene lake at dawn. A duck glides across the water, perfectly composed, the very image of calm. But beneath that glassy surface, its feet are paddling furiously. This duck syndrome, a term born at Stanford, captures something profound about modern work life. We're all frantically treading water while pretending everything's fine. Before the pandemic hit, 1 in 3 workers reported monthly anxiety. By mid-2020, that number had exploded. Among 20-somethings, nearly half were drowning in worry. The cost? $40 billion annually in lost productivity. Yet most organizations treated this crisis like an uncomfortable secret, something to be managed quietly rather than addressed openly. Workplace anxiety isn't just a personal struggle, it's an organizational epidemic. Consider Chloe, a brilliant recent graduate who landed her dream job at an investment bank. Outwardly, she was crushing it. Internally, she was crumbling. Every day brought waves of self-doubt, constant comparison to peers who seemed more accomplished, happier, more together. When she finally confessed to feeling overwhelmed, her manager dismissed it. "That's just how it is here. You're doing fine." The anxiety escalated, panic attacks, Sunday night dread. Then, one day, Chloe simply vanished. She ghosted her employer entirely, never returning or explaining. A promising talent lost to unaddressed anxiety. This pattern repeats across industries. 90% of employees believe admitting anxiety to their boss would damage their careers, so they hide it. They perform while panicking. They succeed while suffering. What's particularly striking is that anxious workers are often the most valuable. 86% are rated as uniquely productive. Highly intelligent people experience anxiety at twice the rate of others. We're not talking about underperformers who need to toughen up. We're talking about your best people quietly breaking down. The generational divide is stark. 75% of Gen Z workers have left jobs for mental health reasons, compared to just 10% of boomers. Younger workers face economic realities their predecessors didn't: wage stagnation, vanishing benefits, constant job insecurity. They've watched capitalism promise prosperity while delivering precarity. Their anxiety isn't weakness, it's a rational response to unstable ground. The silence was deafening, and people were suffering behind their professional masks. When NBA player Sam Cassell stepped to the free throw line in clutch moments, his accuracy soared to 95.5%. Another All-Star's percentage plummeted from 75% to 50% under identical pressure. Uncertainty affects us differently, but it affects us all. During the 2020 pandemic, FYI Doctors President Darcy Verhun held daily Zoom calls with all 3,000 team members, complete transparency about challenges, open Q&A sessions, no sugarcoating. When clinics reopened, the company posted its best monthly results in 12 years. Contrast this with Yahoo's stealth layoffs, where employees were quietly fired each week without explanation. Uncertainty breeds anxiety, but honesty, even painful honesty, provides the ground people need to stand on. Much anxiety stems from uncertainty about personal performance. Employees who discuss goals weekly with managers are 24 times more likely to hit targets, yet only 29% of workers know if their performance is where it should be. Amazon lists bias for action as a core value. Speed matters in business. Many decisions are reversible and don't need extensive study. Paralysis by analysis breeds more anxiety than imperfect action ever could. Navy SEAL training reveals a critical distinction. Taskers complete each job, then rest, while optimizers constantly worry about everything ahead. Optimizers overwhelmingly drop out. They never rest, always mentally churning. Taskers succeed through chunking, breaking monolithic challenges into manageable pieces. Ultramarathoners use the same strategy: focus on the next aid station, not mile 80. When 91% of U.S. employees report burnout, that's systemic, not personal. Telling burned-out workers to meditate while cutting staff and doubling workload isn't wellness, it's gaslighting. Burned-out employees are 63% more likely to take sick days, 2.6 times more likely to quit, contributing to $190 billion in annual U.S. healthcare spending. To reduce workload anxiety, establish clear, achievable goals collaboratively. Mary Beth DeNoyer at Keurig Dr. Pepper has 20,000 employees operating from personalized frameworks, specific targets alongside company vision. During chaos, these roadmaps become anchors. Multitasking destroys productivity, up to 40% when switching between complex tasks. High performers reduce distractions and concentrate on one task at a time. Young workers experience career anxiety like social media FOMO, watching peers advance while feeling stuck. While 40% of boomers stayed with employers 20 plus years, 78% of Gen Zers and 43% of millennials plan to leave within 2 years. Traditional career ladders have become precarious climbing walls. 75% of Gen Z workers expect promotion within their first year. CEO Mark Senadella at Ladders replaced the traditional 2-year promotional path with 6 promotions over 2 years, performance hurdles, title increases, and pay bumps at each step. Though some managers viewed this as delusional coddling, employees worked hard to reach each level. This wasn't about lowering standards, it was recognizing that visible progress reduces anxiety. Many employees don't understand how to stand out. Dr. David Peterson, former director of executive coaching at Google, recommends examining calendars to see how much time goes toward building future skills versus optimizing current performance. Dan Helfrich, CEO of Deloitte Consulting, starts career conversations with, "What do you want to get better at?" Most younger workers now turn to Google, YouTube, or peers rather than waiting for manager guidance. Perfectionism isn't about high standards. It's about appearing perfect, which undermines performance. Perfectionists obsess over avoiding failure rather than achieving excellence, following twisted logic. Since I won't get this exactly right, I won't try as hard. Social media's curated highlight reels and competitive grading systems amplify this trap. Research identifies 3 types: self-oriented, unrealistic self-expectations, socially prescribed, perceiving external demands, and other-oriented, imposing standards on others. Perfectionists seek excessive guidance, avoid risks, treat every decision as critical, and struggle with criticism. The cure? Anthony's lab leader taught him that not every measurement needed perfection, freeing him to allocate attention effectively. The minimum viable product approach, creating solid initial products, then improving through feedback, alleviates paralyzing fear. Blame-free cultures prove essential. When a restaurant system crashed on Mother's Day, the CEO opened the postmortem stating, "Blame has no place in our culture." At Ford, Alan Mulally transformed a culture where executives attacked each other into one where problems could be safely acknowledged. The goal isn't mediocrity, it's sustainable excellence without impossible standards. Conflict avoidance plagues workplaces, yet productive debate drives innovation in high-trust teams. The best leaders facilitate healthy discussion by setting ground rules, de-escalating tensions, and requesting fact-based opinions. Darcy Verhun of FYI Doctors transformed meetings by asking, "What are you thinking about this topic but haven't said?" A simple question that improved decisions and demonstrated inclusive leadership. Mark Beck supports healthy debate by defending minority viewpoints and making decisions that don't create winners and losers. Research shows employees who most positively impact teams balance peacemaking with willingness to engage in difficult conversations. Younger workers particularly struggle with conflict resolution, often preferring texts over face-to-face conversations and misconstruing firmness as reprimands. Simple punctuation, periods, or ellipses can be interpreted as disapproval without nonverbal context. Companies should treat generational communication differences as workplace diversity issues. The key is helping people understand disagreement doesn't mean war. It's about standing up for what you believe while remaining open to others' perspectives. When silence becomes the norm, anxiety fills the void where honest conversation should be. Bias and discrimination create unique anxiety for marginalized groups. Black individuals are 20% more likely to experience serious mental health problems, yet less likely to receive treatment. LGBTQ plus individuals face minority stress from persistent prejudice, with up to 60% dealing with anxiety and depression, 2.5 times higher than heterosexual counterparts. Research shows 61% of employees hide aspects of their identity at work, diverting energy from productive tasks to self-protection. Claiming colorblindness denies people's lived experiences. As activist Francesca Ramsey explains, saying, "I don't see color," suggests racial identity itself is problematic rather than racial discrimination. The goal isn't pretending not to notice differences, but controlling impulses to make decisions based on them. Leaders must actively address microaggressions. Evelyn Walter from Cummins sent handwritten notes to Black employees during 2020 BLM protests, asking how she could support them. Karen Catlin's new manager built her credibility after an acquisition by frequently saying, "What I learned from Karen is," in meetings. According to Professor Isaac Sabat, effective allies demonstrate support through visible actions, attending events, adding supportive comments, displaying symbols of allyship. When teams build strong social connections, they perform better. Cornell research found fire stations where crews dined together saved more lives. Exclusion affects 71% of professionals, but receives far less attention than bullying, despite being equally damaging. During the pandemic, when a remote employee tearfully confessed she hadn't received a hug in 3 months, Simpless CEO Ryan Westwood created geographic regions for 600 employees, with budgets for gatherings. Employee happiness scores improved significantly. Oprah Winfrey discovered, after interviewing over 35,000 people, a universal human need: validation. "As soon as that camera shuts off, everyone turns to me and inevitably asks, 'Was that okay?' Everyone wants to know, 'Did you hear me? Do you see me? Did what I say mean anything?'" In a world that treats anxiety as individual weakness rather than systemic failure, we've forgotten something fundamental. People aren't machines to be optimized, they're humans to be honored. Your anxious employees aren't fragile, they're often your most talented, working twice as hard while carrying invisible weight. Real leadership isn't about building resilience through meditation apps while ignoring the conditions that break people. It's about creating workplaces where uncertainty doesn't mean terror, where mistakes don't mean catastrophe, where being human doesn't require an apology. Start today. Ask someone on your team what they're thinking but haven't said. Listen without fixing. Recognize specifically and often. Create space for imperfect action. Because the choice isn't between high performance and mental health, it's between sustainable excellence and eventual collapse. Choose wisely. Your people are watching, hoping you'll finally see what's been there all along. They're paddling as fast as they can, and they need you to notice.